Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday evening, and glad you're here. I'd like to welcome all those out in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot, listen to our 88.1. Am I not on? Am I on? You can't hear me? How about there? Okay, now we're better. Let's try this again. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday evening, and glad you're here, and we're going to sing us a song. If everybody turn to page 217, Oh How I Love Jesus, let's all stand and sing. 217.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. So thankful that you've come out. Been a wonderful day around here. Been different, and different is good. I'm so thankful to have the Hills and Dr. Emmanuel here this morning. Just wonderful to hear what God's Word is doing in places that we sometimes write off. You know what I mean? We just say that they've... Yes. Amen. It's been an eventful day. No, we had someone lose their engagement ring. It's a pretty engagement ring, too. If it ain't theirs, we're going to sell it and split the money. No, it was theirs, and we're going to put it up. I'm thankful that God answered prayers looking for that, you know. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of John. chapter 3. Surprise, surprise, right? I don't think it's chance or accident that for over a month now, not only have we been studying it, but God's brought in people that have taught specifically from the writings of John. If you think about this morning, Dr. Emmanuel was from John and Revelation. I mean, those are the two of the five that the Revelator penned. And thank you to everybody who pitched in for looking tonight. And then the meal and the shower were beautiful. Enjoyed that. Just time of fellowship. But we do have a study guide tonight. There's 8 points on it. We're not going through all 8 points tonight, okay? We'll do four maybe tonight, and then we'll try to get the next four. But we're going to the scripture he came from, John 3:16. We're going to look at that and just talk about, you've heard me talk about it before, and that is that there's enough truth found in John 3:16 that'll save all of humanity, before us, after us. I mean, and so we're just going to look at that again because a few years ago, the Lord had me preach somewhere, and I wanted to preach one sermon, but he kept putting on my mind that he wanted me to preach from the prodigal son. And I'm like, my gosh, people's heard the prodigal son how many times? And ended up doing what he said, and somebody got saved. And, you know, they're classics for a reason. God has used those specific scriptures in a lot of people's lives. And probably one of the greatest is John 3:16. Amen. So tonight, if you're watching by Facebook, if you're listening, those of you that are here, thank you for the effort that come out. If you don't have a study guide, raise your hand and we'll get you some more. How many study guides we need? 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 more. Ken, yeah, good old Ken. Ain't we glad to have Ken back? Amen. Do we have any words of testimony or praise tonight? I do apologize. Usually I try to keep an updated list from service to service on our prayer needs, and I know that Wednesday night I had at least 2 names to take off and 4 names to add to. Well, they got thrown away. That copy got thrown away. I ain't going to say I did it, but I can't blame it on nobody else either. So, no, yesterday I was able to spend the day over at Recovery Through Christ with the men. Had a great study time. Ended up, you know, it's supposed to be about 15 minutes. Ended up being 2 hours, you know, those kind of studies. It's just awesome. So, any words of praise or testimony? We are going to try to have our our council meeting after service tonight. So before we do go into our time of Bible study tonight, as we said, we'll be in John chapter 3. We want to remember the lost always, those that Christ Jesus has yet to reveal himself to, and they have yet to make a profession. But hallelujah, we know somewhere right now that someone's being eternally saved. So praise God for that. We want to pray for the backslidden marriages. Pray for those that are bereaved, as we think of Sister Wilma Jean going on, as Brother Gary would say, graduating. Pray for her, Miss Brent. And well, don't need to pray for Miss Wilma Jean, but we do need to pray for Sister Brenda Stevens, her daughter. And I just want to say something. I enjoyed everything about this morning's message, and I just got to say that when Jesus saves you, he saves you eternally, okay? He made sure he's got a hold of you. And it's not about what we do, but it's about what he's done. Amen? Most of y'all understand what I'm saying there. It was good to see Brother Danny this morning. Didn't he look great? He looked great. They will be going to Vanderbilt this week, I do believe, for a test type procedure. What is it? A trial. They'll be going for some type of trial. And then want to continue to pray for Sister Nancy and specifically Brother Leonard, but caretaking is a difficult job. And then on top of that, the concern that goes with it. Sister Moselle, Sister Bridget, Jan Williams, Jared Collins, Amanda Christensen, Xander, and Sebastian. We want to pray for Jared and Sister Ashley Glass as they're expecting, and also Brother Logan and Sister Hannah, Jamie, Linda Fletcher, Herschel, Jesse. Now listen, if I get the one that needs to be took off, just say, hey, preacher, okay, real loud, and get my attention, because I'll forget if we go past that one, okay? Chuck and Jean Dennison, Gene Fannin, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Wayne and Larry Bledsoe. We're thankful that Sister Tammy and the mission team from Alaska is back and resting up, Lord willing. Sister Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Ruth and Nick Roden, John Austin, Ashlyn Anthony, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Jasper and Pam Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, Lisa Eastep, Billy Carter, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Deborah Taylor, thank you, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale Owens, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingish, Shalene Harris, Brittany Grindstaff, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Roger and Virginia Eden, Teresa Holden, Maggie Statzer. Teresa Holden. All righty. She was doing better, right? That was what you said. Yep, I remember. John Bryce, okie dokie. Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Dale's doing better. Good deal. Praise the Lord. Charlotte Bishop, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Daryl Green, Paul Davis, Jerry and Genevieve, Flannery, Bodessa. We also want to continue to pray for Sister Pansy and her headaches. Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, she's doing better as well, praise the Lord. Laura Evans and family, J.T. and Gladys Jones, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, and then Sister Ruth's daughter is on the transplant list, I believe that. We say Cindy, I think Cindy is the one that's on the list. I want to pray for them. Justin Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel and Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stoller, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Blesso, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Sister Liza Fletcher, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Lottie Johnson, Frank and Cecilia Pennington Sr., Randall and Edie Gunner, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, James Connor, Evan Bach, Brother Jeff Say's brother, Stuart Owens, Jackie and Sharon Christian, Sarah Freeman, Jackie Levy, Tony Nunley, Jim and Sonia Rogers, Jim and Sonia, Jackie and Sarah off. Oh, yeah, we'll have an updated one now. Herman Sampson, Tracy Carter, and then continue to pray for our backyard Bible study and then also our summer creative learning that's going on at Hope on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good reports coming back from that. And a lot of our people are being able to give their testimonies and just invest a little bit in our community's children. Anyone else tonight? Rick Salyers. Spell that last name. Thank you. Anyone else? We will. Anyone else? Continue to pray for our upcoming elections, all that's going on. I mean, they just raised the stakes on the midterms very much with everything that's went on. Anyone else? It's good to have Brother Ted Mullins with us here tonight. He's faithful being with us on Tuesday for our Tuesday prayer meetings. Brother Ted, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer over these needs tonight? And we ask you to come up here so people can see how pretty you are. No, I'm cutting up so they can hear you on the Facebook and all that. But I also want to remind you that the altar is open. Continue to pray for Brother Jack and Sister Tina Rayside down at Recovery Through Christ. They're supposed to be getting two more men this week coming in. So thank God that he's working through that ministry. Brother Ted.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for all these requests that's been laid before you, Lord. And we just put our hope and put our trust in you, Lord, that you'll meet everyone that's needed, Lord.
Yes, sir.
We thank you, Lord, for the Recovery in Christ and the Hope Ministry and all the other ministries of this church, Lord. Lord, just help us all to surrender our hearts fully to you, Lord, and allow you to use us to do whatever needs to be done in this community, Lord. We lift all the people down here at the motel to you, Lord.
Yes,
we cry out for the people at these apartments over here and all the people in this area, Lord, that need you so greatly, as we all do. We just thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you didn't notice this morning as you're turning to John chapter 3, I was cutting up with Dr. Emmanuel. If you didn't see, he got up here in his socks. And I got to thinking, well, you know what? I think I'm going to use that. I'm only a foot slide away from it, you know, just bagging out. And so I was cutting up with him a little bit. And they believe that behind the pulpit is holy ground. And you don't get up there with your shoes on. Ain't that awesome? I mean, that's just the respect that they have for the word and for the preaching of the gospel. But I tell you what, it does you good. When I was in college, as he was talking about how, you know, over there the individuals do have visions and dreams, and that God lets them know that he wants to speak to them, you know. And in Turkey, men go in there with the word of God, and one that I spoke with said that they gave a New Testament to a waiter, and the waiter read the New Testament overnight and came back to him the next day and said that he had dreamed a dream that God was sending someone to him with the truth, and that was the truth when he accepted Jesus Christ. But now, did you hear him talk? Think about how hard it would be as you're turning to John 3. When, like they said, that once you accept Christ, you can't use the well no more. And when you go into the store to buy something, they won't let you buy there no more because, I mean, basically everything is cut off. You are the outcast. Yeah, I mean, you no longer can you buy and sell. And that's coming in the end times to everyone that knows Jesus Christ. Remember, if you don't have the mark, you won't buy nor sell. But we take it for granted in our country. You can't go and do what we call cold call evangelism. Just knock on the door and tell them Jesus loves you, or you'll go to jail. I mean, it's just a whole different scenario. And people are dying because of it and being cast in prison and all that. And you know, there are some places becoming, like Dearborn, Michigan, and other places. They're Muslims are taking over, and the Sharia law, no matter what five precepts they say it comes from, and all that from the Quran, it is. I mean, it's as bad as slavery when the slave only counted as a third of a total human being, you know. And so, we're blessed. And we better fight for what we've got. All right, John 3:16 in 2022. Because what I seen was I've preached from John 3:16 a few times, 2017, 2018, 2020, and now 2021. I mean 22. My goodness gracious! I gotta say this also. The day's July 10th. On July 7th, back in 2017. Is when the wreck was, and I was laying in the hospital on my son's birthday, and he did not want to see his daddy. That was it, and God's brought it around. But thank God for that, and thank God for my boy being 16 today. He's He's a spitting image of his daddy, but when his daddy was 20 to 21, he's going to be a big man is the problem. Let's read it. I'm going to read out of King James, and then I'll read it out of Christian Standard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't think you can outdo the King James on that one, but let's read it out of another version. For God so loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Back when the last time I looked through this, I was listening a lot to Vody Bachman at that time. And you remember it was why we believe the Bible. And you remember we took it from him. I choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the life and time of other eyewitnesses. They reported supernatural events that took place as a fulfillment of specific prophecies and claimed that their writings are of a divine origin rather than of human origin. And if you want scripture to go along with that, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Remember, this is eyewitness testimony. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed as light as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we see that the same God that moved on the Old Testament writers and the Old Testament prophets, Abraham, Jeremiah, Isaiah, David, all of those, that same Spirit is who moved on the writers of the New Testament. And so it's coming from the same origin. But we've been looking at specifically whose eyewitness testimony here lately. John's. We've been looking at John's eyewitness testimony. Because he tells us that specifically, remember John chapter 20 verse 31, that he wrote these things so that those who read it might come to know and believe in Christ Jesus, and in believing might have eternal life. And so as we think about John, and we're looking now, and we may go back to look at the seven I Am's when we get done with the seven signs, because it's just, I'm being blessed by it. It's helping me, if nothing else, so you're just on board for the ride. But now think about John 3:16. I would have to probably say that it is the most popular or the most well-known of all verses in the Bible. Think about it. It's usually one of the first ones that anyone memorizes when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, there's always a sign behind the field goal that says John 3:16. You know, when you're watching a football game or something like that, they've got the sign. Also, when you're watching basketball games, behind when they're shooting free throws, many times you see it there. We see it now. Tim Tebow made it popular not only with other verses, but under the eye black. They make them now. They make the stickers that they can put on that have scriptures on them. And then it's on billboards. It's on bathroom walls. I didn't know this, but Forever 21 has it in their clothing. There's manufacturers of guns that have it in their guns, and those that sell ammo. But you know, Jesus did tell you to get your sword, right? There is scripture for being personally armed. I just want you to know that. Monster trucks, secular songs, Peanuts comics, all those different ones. Even In-N-Out burgers on their cups and all around the top, I think it is. where you'd put the lid on it. And so when we look at this, why is this verse, why is it so popular? One is because it does contain enough truth in it that it can save whosoever. If this is the only verse that anyone is to ever hear, there's enough truth in this verse that they can come to an eternal relationship with Christ Jesus. One of the first reasons is because it answers one of the biggest questions in life. This is number one. In John 3:16, we find one of the biggest answer, or we find an answer to one of the biggest questions that's ever asked. And that is there a God? I mean, that's one of the biggest things today. This was back from a few years ago, but from Quora.com, the question was asked, what are the top 10 philosophical questions? Is there life after death? What is good and what is evil? What is the purpose of life? What is truth? How should I live? And then about half of all that participated asked the question, is there a higher power? Is there a deity? Is there a God? And in less than two words in John 3:16, that question is answered for God. The burden is lifted from our. I mean, this is awesome to know that not everything falls on us. We're not responsible for it all. God, defined as a supreme being, the creator, the eternal and endless spirit, the sovereign of the universe, Jehovah, the I Am. And again, what you're going to see a lot in this, and if you in your study guide, you're going to see Webster's 1828. Words mean something. Definitions mean something. And we're living in a time that the culture and society is trying to wipe out hundreds and hundreds of years of definition and put it. I mean, we're living in a time where people won't even answer the question, what is a woman? I mean, and then they'll throw it back at you. Well, if you have to ask, then you don't know. I mean, yeah, okay, not according to the world we live in, but there's some clear definitions. We already know that humanity, as individuals, we're flawed, we're imperfect, and because our lives are imperfect, then there has to be something perfect to compare it to. It amazes me. I loved philosophy when we were in school, and one of them was, for everything that is here on earth, there is a perfect, and we are the reflection of it. There is a perfect thing, like this pulpit. Somewhere this is reflecting off the perfect image. And it's amazing to me how close they are, because we are the reflection of our Creator. Remember, God Himself said, I'm going to make man and I'm going to make them in my image. So as the supreme being, He provides us hope, but not only hope, because see, once that we answer that question, is there a God, then that means He has the authority to define. He has the authority. He created it all. You know, I mean, your house, you may not have built your house. Some of you may have built your house, but you pay the bills at your house. That means because you're the authority of that home, you have the right to say what happens under your roof and on your acreage. Amen? And that's the way it is with God. God created something out of nothing. Where there was nothing, He made something, and thus He has the right to define. And so we see that in God, and we see that with God comes the standard of good, comes the standard of evil, comes the idea of right and the idea of wrong. If there is no God, then is there anything called moral? Is there anything that is good? Is there anything that is evil? You see, if you do not have a God, then all of that is debatable, right? But with God, praise God. And that's what we see here in the book, in John 3:16. We were at the meal this afternoon and the shower. One of the things we did, a questionnaire that they were making a book for Hannah and Logan. And one of the questions was, this is what really got me to think about it. What scripture would you tell someone when things are good? Well, amen, John 3:16. And I also almost put that one for bad too, you know, just put it both there and cover them both up. But I've said this before. Think about it. During creation, the first 5 days, God created everything and anything that humans, and animals would need, right? He gave us air, water, food, all of that. I mean, before the flood, I mean, everything was vegetarian. You know, there was everything. And everything that we need, he supplied. And inside every human being, whether they admit it or not, there is a knowledge that there is a life after this life. And God provided a way for that to be taken care of too. Amen? Everything that we need. So, number one, John 3:16, why is it so amazing? Because it answers one of the deepest and greatest of all philosophical questions, is there a God? Number two, now that we've decided and confirmed in the first two words that there is a God, then we're supplied some important information on God. For God so loved the deity. Now, I put this in your study guide here, but look right here. There are many extremely different ideas of who God is today. I mean, just like there's Buddha, Allah, the God of the Bible, the God of the Quran, all these different ones. There's the grandfatherly figure with the long right hair and a big thick beard and not really concerned with what's going on. He just basically created things and spun it into orbit and he no longer has any interaction with his creation. Then there's the tyrannical, oppressive, lightning bolt, Zeus-looking God that's just waiting to punish. That's a lot of people today see God as that. That he's just waiting at any time to come down on them. Then there's the superior scientist type. You know, we've been planted here by aliens type stuff and all that created the earth, holds it, and then it's basically like a science project and we're the lab rats and he's just throwing all these things, allowing all these things to happen just to observe and to see what happened and all that. I mean, and then there's many, many, many more things. I mean, there's the idea that we, it's just different. But notice the definable, I mean, how was he defined here? And even in John, the book of John, 1 John, what does he say? He said that God is what? God is love. God is love. And so as we look at this, God so loved. And not just a love like we talk about. I mean, you know, there's eros, phileo, all these different types of words in the Greek for love. And this love here is agape. It's agape. The highest type of love. A pure and a selfless, unconditional type love. A love that puts self-conservation aside for the benefit and the enrichment of another. That's how God loves you and I. That he willingly, and we're going to look at this in a minute, but he willingly, Jesus allowed himself to be tormented and tortured for our betterment, for our eternal enrichment. And it's John, 1 John 4:8, that says God is love. And so this is important. I mean, in this, again, these another important philosophical question is answered here. Not only is there a God, but he is defined as a God that loves with a selfless type love. I mean, this is a life-changing truth right here. I mean, if you just grab a hold of this, just this one scripture, it's amazing. The next thing is this. Not only, there's a deity, amen, and he is a deity who loves with a selfless love, but the object of his love is mind-blowing as well. For God so loved the world. Now, we can define the world as many different things. If you notice there, the world is defined as the universe, a system of created globes and vast bodies of matter. Then there is the earth, the globe that we know, sometimes called lower earth. Then it's also, when you look in Webster's 1828, there are 22 entries for world. So I only gave just a few. But for a system of beings, the orbs that occupy space. Have you ever considered yourself to be an orb? The orb that occupies space, all the beings that inhabit them. So for common sense and to really make sense of defining what does the world mean, then, because we've got plants and animals and all this, we have to move a little deeper into the passage here to rightly divide the Word of God. Notice he says, whosoever. So as he defines world, as he moves on deeper into the verse, he defines the world as whosoever. And this means each and everybody. Amen. Who can be saved today? Anybody, everybody, whosoever. Amen. It's not for me to decide. Any person whatsoever. So as we look at this and we see that there is a deity, he's a deity defined as love, and the love that he has is for the human species. If you just took 5 minutes to think of that every morning when you got up, that God loves you. Isn't that awesome? That he loves me with a love that puts self aside. So whosoever, as we consider that, that means the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the tan man, the rich man, the poor man, the straight man, the gay man, the liar, the cheater, the murderer, the backslider, the gossip, the Republican, the Democrat, the independent, of every race, every gender, every class, every position, of all mankind. That's who God loves today. The lowest scheme of man that you can think of right now, the one that we would about say is a waste of skin, God loves him with a love that we cannot even understand. Isn't that awesome? And you know what? On those days where you feel like you don't deserve to be loved and probably don't deserve to be loved, doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what society is telling you or anything like that, the Bible says, John 3:16 says that God loves you. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. And then notice what it says there in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord appeared to him from far away and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued to extend faithful love to you. Every day when we wake up, we can be mindful that God loves us enough that not only did he send his son to die for us, but as his child, as a follower, he is active in our life. His love is active in our life. His favor is upon us. And you know what? God has changed the way I've prayed. I've started praying that God's favor and his blessing be upon me. I pray that it be upon you. And I'm trying not to do it selfishly. I know some you just can't help. You're praying it selfishly. But two, I want his favor and his blessing to be on other people as well. And if he'll use me to show his favor and his blessing, if he pours out his favor and blessing on me, then when I'm ministering and trying to help someone else, his favor and his blessing is being poured out through me on them. That's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. And then we're going to stop here. But notice the love that our deity has for humanity caused him to do something. The action performed because of the love that God has for all of humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. Notice, it didn't say he placed on a scale and decided how much it was valued and then said, you got to do X, Y, and Z to attain this. Nope. He's given a gift. When we hear about the idea of gift, most of the time we go to either a birthday or Christmas. I mean, those are the two. I'm not this way, but a lot of people, they spent hours and hours and hours praying about, thinking about what they're going to get. I go with the idea, it's the thought that counts. Amen? That's whatever it is, it's the thought that counts. If I get you a card, it's the thought that counts. Probably not going to be many words in it. Pretty picture, but not many words, because I don't like to read unless it's the Bible. We don't like the idea of re-gifting either. You know what I mean? We don't know. It was bought for you, not for them. But, and really, you know, and that's true. The idea of that it's not about what it is, but it's the thought. And that's the idea there. But remember what it says over in the book of, I think it's Luke. I put it in y'all's. I didn't get it in this one. But if we, fathers, who are evil, like to give good gifts, how much more does our Heavenly Father above long to give us good gifts? You know, and what we're going to see as we move on, and so we stop right there, and there's enough just right there to change a life, to change your worldview. That right there should change the way that you view the world around you. But we're going to be looking at that, at number five, the value of this gift. There's only one of a kind, amen? He's only one of a kind. I mean, this is an awesome ring I got in my pocket right here. But it is nothing compared to the value of the gift that the love of our Creator has for us. Amen? All right, any thoughts tonight on this, on our study? Amy did make it to her destination as well. So just pray that they have good. They were getting on the plane this morning. Did I tell you? They was getting on the plane this morning and told them they had to get off of it because the mechanic had to look at it. I told her I do. I'd have been a sign from God right there. We stand on the ground on that one. Any other thoughts tonight? Don't forget, we will be having our council meeting after church. ASAP, we'll get through it, all right? All right, again, it's been good to be with you today. Thankful that you come out, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good, holy, and righteous. And God, nothing in our mind or what we know compares to what you actually and how holy you are, how righteous you are, how just, how pure, and God, how much you love me. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to be arrogant in that. I don't want to take it for granted. But Lord, I want to learn how to live in that truth. God, that you love me with a love that has taken care of my eternity. Everything that I need, everything physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, whatever, you've got it. Matter of fact, you said that I'm to seek the kingdom of heaven and to seek to grow that kingdom and that you'll take care of everything else. And so, God, today I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for hearing our prayers today. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to find this ring. And, Lord, just as you were faithful in that, how much more are you faithful to us on a daily basis? God, I pray for Brother Emmanuel. God, I pray as we were asked, as they're getting prepared to have the annual Gideon's meeting in Texas, God, that you just bless them indeed. Heavenly Father, Lord, just let your presence be there. Let them be revived. Let them be renewed. Heavenly Father, Lord, let the joy of the Lord rise up within them. And God, let them carry the word to places. And Lord, let us fall in love with your word once again. God, I thank you and I praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we lift up Miss Brenda Stevens and all those, Lord, that are going through bereavement, sickness, as we think of Jill. And her family, God, I pray for a backyard Bible study. I pray for our summer learning program. God, I pray for our outreach here. And God, that we just ask you that you allow us to be a part of one more soul coming to know Jesus Christ. And it's in that name I pray you forgive me of my sins. Amen and amen. God bless y'all.